13. John chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. You see how his impulsiveness got him into trouble, but you can see his sincerity, though, can't you? That he responds to the rebuke with desperation. Lord, I need you. Wash me every whit then. But then Jesus corrects that overcorrection of Peter's, and he says, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done unto you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Master, or your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he, or he that is sent, greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. We have not finished with our reciprocal studies, the one another passages in the New Testament. I'd like to entitle this afternoon's foot washing and sanctification. And the reciprocal command is to wash one another's feet. Verse 14, If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. And if you're asking if this is a defense of foot washing, I would say yes and no. Perhaps it's better to ask if this is a defense of shoe shining. And I would say yes and no. I actually had my shoe shine once. I probably told you this before, but most of you have forgotten it, so I don't mind telling it again. But I used to fly more often when I could go to the weeks of prayer, and I do miss that. I miss the weeks of prayer more than I miss flying, but it certainly is nice once in a while to fly. But when I was in the Minnesota airport, I believe it was Minneapolis, don't remember, the Tri-Cities up there, I was walking down a busy corridor and hallway, and I see these three thrones over to the side, and I noticed that they were shoe shining places. And I looked down at my shoes, and I thought they were pretty clean, pretty shiny. I usually try to buff them up a little bit before I go anywhere. But I thought, well, you know, I'll do it. I've got some time before the next flight. The flight back to Buffalo. So I wanted to see how good they are. So I don't remember how much it was. It might have been in those days. That was back in the 90s, I think. It might have been $5. I don't know, $3. I know I gave him a couple dollar tip. So I got up there, and he went away at it. And it was just funny to watch him go. And I just could not believe how much shinier my shoes were than they had been before the fella went to work. So I realized my shoes were actually dusty and dirty before he got through. Anyway, what does that have to do with the message? Well, I was thinking about sanctification then, how we think we're clean, but we need to get before the Lord and ask Him to wash us and reveal anything that may be secret. David even said, Lord, cleanse me from secret sins. Now, the context in this passage of the foot washing is Jesus' faithfulness to His covenant of grace is indicated immediately, isn't it, in chapter 13. Jesus, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them to the very end. And He gives an example of how He's going to show His love right to the very end by this illustration of foot washing. And certainly one of the ways, many ways, that Jesus shows His love for us and His faithfulness is that He will not let us go on in our sins. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And He's very much interested in our ongoing growth. He loves to continue to walk with us and to fellowship with us. And the Lord Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so, this afternoon, I want us to think about foot washing and sanctification. By the way, one of the greatest texts of assurance that I have found in the Bible is in chapter 13 and verse number, I had down number 11, but that's not the one. It is verse 10. It's one of the greatest comforts I've had reading the Bible. He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Now, I know there are two English words for wash here, but there are two Greek words. And so it doesn't sound, I don't know why the translators translated both of these wash. Here's how you could translate this. He that is bathed, and you may have a marginal note, does not need to be bathed again, in other words, except he needs to wash his feet. But he's clean everywhere. He's already bathed. He just needs to have his feet washed. You bathe in the morning, say you're in a society like that, you bathe in the morning, you don't need to keep bathing throughout the day. But your shoe or your feet got dirty. And so you had to wash your feet maybe several times a day, especially if it was a rainy day. Same way today. You bathe in the morning. I don't know when you bathe. Some of people may only bathe two or three times a week. Whatever. Whatever is sufficient for you. Some of you may be not as oily as others, or some of you may not sweat as others, or some of you don't work as hard, or at least are in a job where you're having to have the sweat of your face. But we won't go that direction. But even in today's society, you got to buff up your shoes several times a day, especially if you have several speaking engagements a day, or you're meeting with different folks. We can understand that. But the Lord is saying, if you're bathed, well, if you're saved, you don't need to be saved all over again. But you need to be washed constantly. So He's saying, if you're regenerated, you don't need to be regenerated again, but you need sanctification all the time, over and over and over again. So what He's saying here is, if you're alive, you're going to grow. You need to grow all the time. You don't need to come alive again and again and again. You're already alive. But you need to grow. And if you grow, you're alive. If you're alive, you'll grow. They both go together. And again, these plants look the same as they did last week. Maybe a little dustier, but they'll never get any bigger. And they'll never get any smaller. They're not going to grow. They're not going to, unless you cut them up, you'll get smaller, but they're artificial, they're fake. And there are a lot of fake Christians. They never grow. Now, Lot was not an unbeliever. Lot was a believer, but he didn't grow much. But he did grow some. I think that the fact that he went with Abraham down south to leave his home was indicative that God had called him and he was willing to step out. I don't think at the outset he thought, you know, if I go with Uncle Abraham, I'm going to get rich and have a lot of possessions. Because they didn't have much when they left that land. They got a little bit down in Karen, and they got a little bit more as they met with different kings and lived in the land of Canaan. But I think that Lot was growing. I think that he got saved up there with his uncle, and I think that he was desiring growth and that he was going on with the Lord, but the point came where the growth spurt certainly stopped, and there was very little to show for much of the end of his life. And that's a danger for all of us, that you can be a Christian and not have sufficient growth. Though you have some growth, you're not going to have sufficient growth if you don't use the means of the Word of God and so on. So this afternoon I want us to think about this reciprocal. Remember, what is this reciprocal, all the reciprocals indicating? The kind of life necessarily tied to the lives of others. Over and over again, the Lord uses these reciprocal pronouns. Do this to one another, to one another, to one another. He's saying, I want you to have intertwined lives. I want you to realize you're in a body, that you're not to be separated from each other. The body parts work together at the behest of the head. I want you to realize you're a building, a brick that falls off the building, breaks and isn't for much use but to be thrown in a heap pile. I want you to realize that you are together and you're to have the kind of life that's tied to the lives of others. Many ways of explaining that. They continued steadfastly in doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. He said it in Hebrews, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Be reciprocal in your relationship. Don't forsake the house of your God and don't forsake God's people. So how does foot washing have to do with this? The illustration of foot washing, and he said to keep doing this. This is not the Lord giving us another sacrament, I don't believe. But he's saying, and he said, I give you an example. Believers ought to be concerned for the daily cleansing and sanctification and growth of each other. And I know it's kind of another way of saying all the other things that have been mentioned. So if you will, foot washing would have under it what kind of soaps, all kinds of soaps for foot washing, admonishment and forgiveness and being kind to one another and so on. So the Lord is basically saying you have a continual concern for the growth of one another. So evidenced by phone calls, notes, stimulation to good works, Bible reading, resolutions, encouragements, and so on. Now, earlier we have some discussions about church discipline. And I think in Christendom, there's a wrong idea to this. Do you realize, by the way, that the church discipline part is about the third or fourth step in the whole process? We think of church discipline, so often we're thinking of remedial, you know, putting somebody out of the church. Do you realize that was the second from last step that the Lord used? The word discipline has the idea of education. So we're talking about the education of the believer, and this is what foot washing is dealing with, and all these reciprocal commands. We're exercising preventive education most of the time, but remedial when it gets too far. The remedial is when the organist is shown to be a sodomite. That's gone too far. That should have been stopped long before that third or fourth step. Where do we start with the education of one another? It's self-discipline. It's foot washing. It's constant encouragement. Now, the Lord Jesus, where did he start when he talked about when something goes wrong? He talked about one-on-one. You go rebuke him. But the reason why he started there was because the discussion had to do with the offense of people. Where do you really start? Which is where the whole Bible is. It should start in self-discipline. What's one of the fruit of the Spirit? Temperance. I won't need you to rebuke me if I'm rebuking myself every day. And if I'm listening to your admonition in the songs, and I'm listening to your conversations, and you're saying, wait a minute, you're a little bit twisted on that thinking, I won't need you to rebuke me. I won't need two or three to come and rebuke me. I won't need the church to rebuke me if on a daily basis I am exercising self-discipline, self-education, and you and I, and you're washing my feet, I'm washing your feet, you won't need to rebuke me officially. You won't need a two or three to come to me. You won't need the church to deal with me. And really, most of the New Testament is a daily foot washing. That's why, you know, this encouraging the church attendance is not for church attendance sake, it's for foot washing's sake. Why does the Lord say, don't forsake the assembly of yourself together? Why does he say, you know, exhort each other to love and to good works, stimulate each other to do that? He wants us to be washed on a regular basis. It's when we start getting away from the Word and getting away from Christians that we're in the territory of the devil who's tempting us. We're in the world where we're going to get burned. And then we're going to have somebody rebuke us. Then we're going to have that further stages exercised regarding the education of our souls and our growth. So foot washing is really an emblem for daily cleansing. It's an emblem for sanctification. Now, baptism is the sacrament for regeneration. Pictures regeneration. It happens once in our life. But the Lord's Supper is an actual sacrament that deals with our sanctification. But foot washing was the Lord's symbol, if you will. It was an emblem for daily cleansing. And since we don't practice the Lord's Supper every week, obviously this foot washing is something that pictures something we do every day. If you wait to confess your sins until you have the Lord's Supper, you're going to let a month go by, or even 6 days go by, even if we did it weekly. But we need every day to be dealing with our hearts and resisting sin and going on with the Lord and loving the Lord. The first thought is that sanctification is a universal need. The Lord Jesus did not skip any disciples. He washed every single one of the disciples' feet. Every one of us needs growth. Every one of us needs to go on with the Lord. Every one of us needs to confess our sins. Every one of us is going to need from time to time a rebuke by one or two or three. Hopefully it doesn't get to the point where the whole church has to be exercised. That certainly is necessary at times, but it's very tense. I don't remember even a second time. It was very tense. At the end of a Sunday evening service, the preacher down in Greenville said, all visitors, please be excused. And he waited for everybody to leave, and there was a church discipline matter that went on. And I had no clue that this was happening. It was one of the elders that was being disciplined. It wasn't a church member or an adherent. It was an actual elder that was being disciplined, as well as a woman in the church that he was having an affair with. And so it certainly had its result. But he's saying here, it's a universal need. Notice it says, then cometh he to Simon Peter. Now Simon Peter would have been recognized as the leader of the elders, if you will, the leader of the disciples. And yet, the Lord didn't omit him. You need it too, Simon Peter. There's no one that is exempt from the need of growth. There's no perfection before glorification. Elders, deacons, church members, adherents, every believer has need of foot washing, has need of daily cleansing. You believe that we have need of these things? It's our daily need. What's it say? Exhort one another daily. Now that's not something that we really know much about in our day, do we? In their day, I suppose we read about them meeting in the temple every day. They probably lived within walking distance, most of them. Do we really understand what it means for us to daily exhort each other? In our homes, we ought to be doing that. We should experience that in our marriages, in our homes. Unless we make a lot of phone calls, unless we, you know, meet together for coffee, unless we see each other on a regular basis, we have to say we exhort each other weekly. Or just every few days. Therefore, the responsibility is upon our spouses and upon our children and upon our brothers and sisters in the home to exercise foot washing on a regular basis. But remember, I may want to wash your feet, but you have to stick out your foot. You may want to wash my feet, but you have to, that I have to stick out my foot. It works both ways, doesn't it? This reciprocal relationship. Peter said, not mine. No, no. I don't know whatever reason he said that, whether it was, Lord, that's beneath you, your Lord, or it's beneath me. I think that he was being sanctimonious. Even if he thought it was, Lord, you're beneath yourself, that was insulting the Lord. Well, may I say that it's not just a universal need, it's a local need. It's a continual concern of believers in the church. He uses the present tense in both of these verbs. You ought to be washing one another's feet. And as I have done to you, you ought to be doing to one another. In other words, this is dealing with a reciprocal, a constant reciprocal relationship. Not something going on seldom, but something that is constantly happening. In a real sense, you know, we should be washing each other's feet every time we meet together. Whether it be a correction of the thought, whether it be an encouragement of that thought, whether it be, you know, okay, I've needed strengthening in this doctrine, that, you know, my love has been waning, I'm thankful that you've challenged my love today, and whatever, there's something some dirt is being washed off everybody's feet when we come together. Now this is the case, if there's certainly a case for church membership in a covenant relationship, and again, the reciprocal relationships are impossible without a committed covenant relationship. I'm committed to the people of God. I'm committed to a relationship with you that's so close, you're observing me. You're with me. You're talking to me. I'm listening to you. It's a covenant relationship. It's not a loose relationship. You'll never be able to have a reciprocal relationship if you're attending a smorgasbord of churches. And of course, if you're just going to remain loosely on the outside, just kind of on the outskirts of the people of God, you'll never have that exercise in your life. And so you have the danger of remaining in a particular sin and never being encouraged on in the Lord or rebuked in anything that is becoming a problem area in your life. Now, we often again think of foot washing as a negative thing, or discipline, or rebuke. But remember, the positive impact is something that's regularly going on. Why do these other things, like problems in the church, or church, why do they get all the attention? It's like if I break my finger, why does that finger get all the attention? Because it hurts, because it's a distraction, because it's bigger than the others. But the other nine fingers are growing, are healthy. In other words, every week, every time we meet together, the positive things are always going on, always going on, always going on. Good to see you, brother. How you doing? You know, I'm glad that you had a great opportunity to witness the other day. You know, I'm glad your marriage is going well. How's your prayer life? You know, how's your Bible reading? How's your opportunity at work? How's your work ethic going? There's positive things going on all the time. We often discourage each other by thinking that the one problem area or the broken finger is the norm. When the norm is, if you're together, you're washing each other's feet, and you're going on with the Lord. And again, the steps to the restoration of a brother start with the fact he doesn't need restoration at all if he's going on with the Lord. Self-discipline, which is the duty of every Christian, is something that should be practiced every day. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is temperance. I am responsible to be temperate. I'm responsible to read the Bible so that I can have the Scripture in my mind to help me when I'm tempted. I'm responsible to say no when the devil says to lie or to steal or to lust or to covet. And then it's the duty of all to keep each other self-disciplined. Right? The duty of every one of us. It's preventive maintenance. Preventive maintenance. It's my responsibility to check my oil, to check the transmission fluid, to check the, the radiator fluid, to check the windshield wiper fluid. What happens if I don't exercise preventive maintenance? Problems will happen, right? I was glad to see that Brett was checking the oil. The oil was up on the van. And it's good for us to check each other's oil, as it were. That's what we're doing every day. How are we doing? We don't want to be plastic Christians. We want to be honest with ourselves. But if, you know, people that frequently miss, they miss out on their oil being checked, their feet being washed, and they're disgruntled, and they remain in particular sins for all their... Look at Lot. He didn't allow there to be dealing. Obviously, he stayed away from Abram. He went all the way into the city and dwelt there and sat at the gate. Abraham rescued him. I said, that was God's way of saying, Lot, get out of trouble. Get out of trouble. Abram rescued him as a hostage, salvaged him. What did Lot do? He went right back to the city and ended up being in the gate of Sodom. I wonder if his uncle said, Lot, you're better off outside the city. You're better off with the herds and with your shepherds than in the city with your possessions. Do you see that your possessions weren't secure after all? So, a continual concern of believers is washing each other's feet. But obviously, if the day comes that I say to you, or you as a brother or sister, I don't want you to wash my feet, then you gotta convict me. Then you gotta talk to me. That's where it says, if your brother offends you, go and tell him. So the individual, you see how the Lord's keeping it secret, by the way, as much as possible? It starts with secrecy. It starts with containment. It's you're disciplining yourself. I don't have to confess to you the sins I confessed to the Lord yesterday or the day before. If they haven't come public, I don't need to make them public. God knows my wretchedness. And I don't think I'm surprising any of you by saying that I'm glad that my sins don't go public. I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I have wretched sins often through the week. Where did that thought come from? And it's not just where did that thought come from. I entertained that thought that came. I'm not going to blame the devil if a thought... There are times when the devil injects a thought and it's his fault. But if I entertain that thought, it's my fault. But there are many times that I've confessed my sins that you have no clue. I'm thankful for the blood of Christ. But the day may come where I'm entertaining that thought, not confessing it, and you catch me. You catch me on that website. You catch me in that place. You catch me saying that in that store to a stranger, and I don't know anybody else is around. I hope you and I are man enough to say, let me wash your feet, brother. But I'm not going to say, let me take a bunch of people and tell, I'll talk about your sin. The Lord says, you go to Him alone. He's keeping it contained. Even the third step, two or three, is still contained. And it's not until I say to my brother and to several brothers, I don't want my feet washed, that you got to tell the whole church. But even that's contained. And that church did right. They contained it. Visitors, goodbye. It's not for the world to know. It's not for people to know who don't care about a reciprocal relationship, that don't care about foot washing. Please step out if you're visiting tonight. This is contained. And the preacher said, this should not leave these four walls. The neighbor shouldn't know. The world shouldn't know. This is a church matter. Now, of course, we have records where if it became a church matter that there are times when elders were to be told, and then there had to be the exercise of wisdom whether the congregation was to be told. Remember it says, call for the elders of the church, and if there are any sins that you've committed, you confess them there. So there is a case where sometimes a person who, before they confess to a church, confess to the elders, which is the Lord's way, obviously His conduit. of it's his authority. It's, all elders are under his authority, where you would confess to the elders, and then they would decide whether that confession should continue on to the congregation. For instance, if a woman became pregnant out of wedlock, that was something that was going to become public, but if she came before the elders, which would be a wise thing, and show that she was repentant, that the elders would then explain to the congregation, this young girl is repentant, and we just want you to know that she's coming to confess to the church, and we're to forgive her. We're to forgive her. But if I won't let the church wash my feet, the Lord is saying, you let the world wash your feet. Count him as an unbeliever. Let the world rebuke you for your sin. Let the world see if you're really a Christian or not, because you're going to be delivered to the devil, the destruction of the flesh. Now, there are times you don't start from 1 right to 5. Paul, when Peter sinned in front of them all, Paul didn't call Peter aside and say, Peter, you're being a hypocrite. Peter already sinned before a bunch of them. He said, before them all, Peter, you're a hypocrite. Same way with the man that committed incest. They didn't start, I suppose there were some believers that may have started individually, but Paul said, this has become full-blown a church matter. This is a full-blown where he's not even repentant before the church. Get him out. Let the world rebuke him. Count him as an unbeliever unless he repents. So there are times we break into the process, whoever's going to wash the feet. But it's a concern that each one of us in the church at large is to have for each other. But having said the negatives, the soap we're using every day and every week and every month and every year is what we have been considering these last Sabbath evenings for the last several months. We won't have a need of rebuke officially by a person or by two or three or by a church if we're peacemaking regularly like Abram was. Have peace among yourselves. If we're admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, if we're bearing each other's burdens, if we're esteeming each other above one another, if we're noticing and inciting to good works, if we're forgiving and being kind and exhorting and all the rest of it, we won't have need of it. That's the whole reason. The Lord is saying these are means. Church attendance, Bible reading, constant fellowship, marriages, homes, fellowship during the week, all these things, reading books back and forth, making phone calls, sending letters. It's preventive maintenance. It's growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going on with God. It's washing each other's feet. It's hoping that we won't have to have a remedial. There are churches that don't do preventative and they're constantly doing remedial. And there are churches that neither do either because they're liberal. We need to be washing each other's feet over and over and over again and exercising wisdom. If we're going to be wrong, if we're going to err, we err on the side of long suffering. Err on the side of long suffering. Err on the side of preventative, not on the side of remedial. How the Lord was so long suffering. You have to say, well, when do I step in? Well, the Lord will give wisdom. And that's where there's counsel involved. That's where the elders are involved. That's where a spouse is involved. That's where a counselor is involved. That's where we need to be in prayer and fasting and so sensitive and close to the Lord. Now, Jesus did say there are times where particular concerns are needed. I think even in this case. I mean, all he was going to do was wash Peter's feet, and Peter would not have been noticed with the rest of the apostles. Would he have? If he'd have come to Jesus or Peter's feet like he did to James and John and Bartholomew and Matthew and Peter just let him do it, nothing would happen. But some matter of concern came up. Peter made it obvious of his pride. He corrected his Lord. He was disrespectful. And so before them all, he said, Peter, you're proud. Peter, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. That's tremendous doctrine, by the way. Peter, if you're not sanctified, you've never been regenerated. If you're not growing in the Lord, you've never been converted. You've never been born again. And there's so much doctrine taught by illustration as well as by direct word in the Bible. But Jesus addressed Peter's pride because it became known before the whole group of believers. And of course, you know, when would I need more foot washing when I keep stepping in the mud, stepping in the mud, stepping in the mud, and I step in the mud all the time. And I wash my feet every day. I try to wash my feet, but there are days I'm thankful that you wash my feet. In that one-on-one conversation, you say, you know, you need to be humble. Or, you know, you need to trust the Lord in that matter. You've washed my feet. You've washed my feet. And so that self-discipline is not only a personal but a reciprocal relationship. But there's a day when you have to come and tell me my fault. Don't do it too early and don't do it too late. You say, who is sufficient for these things? Our sufficiency is of the Lord. I suppose the seriousness of the matter probably decides whether we should do it too soon rather than too late. You know, if I'm being a little bit mean, maybe you can be long-suffering to a fault. But if you know I'm on an internet with pornography, you better be too soon than too late. You ought also to be doing these things to one another. Foot washing is really the summary of all the reciprocals. The Lord is saying, promote each other's growth. Prevent each other's sin. Be exemplary. Approach each other with love. Because it's love that never fails. May I say this? We should never wash each other's feet unless we have deep, serious love in our hearts. Jesus had love in his heart when he washed their feet. You better have love in your heart when you wash my feet. Because I'm such a stubborn person. If you wash my feet with hatred and with meanness, if you're mean and you're trying to help me, what do you think? And I'm needing help, I'm going to be worse than you are. It's love that never fails. It's not rightness that never fails. It's love that never fails. I may be right, but if I'm not loving, I'm a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I might as well come to you with clangs. Not called clangs, what are they called? Thank you. Be long-suffering, but don't be permissive or neglectful. Let's pray and stay aware. Be careful. Let's be busy, but not be busybodies. And there's a way we can be such. Jesus is teaching us a very, very important truth. He's teaching us preventive maintenance predominantly. But he's also saying there's a day when you're going to have remedial dealings. But thank God, when a church is healthy and preaching the word, continuing in doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer, most of the education, and I use that specifically, discipline is the word of educate, is mostly preventative. But when the time comes, may we not be timid and fearful of having to break one another's arm, having to show the crust of dirt that hasn't been washed from our feet. May we be loving enough to be able to approach each other with brokenness and say, look, I've been where you are. I sat where you sat. And I want to wash your feet because I first washed my feet. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank Thee that You love us to the end. Not one of those disciples could have said, Lord, You're doing this out of spite or pride or meanness. Every one of them had to say, even Judas, that you loved him. Sad man that committed suicide. He knew in his heart that you were the epitome of everlasting love. Lord Jesus, pour out your love into our hearts. May we know the fruit of the Spirit. May nothing that we do be out of anything but the love of God. And when, Lord, we have fallen and committed sin, please send one with love to us to restore us. Please help us, Lord, to discern when each of us can go to each other, to wash each other's feet. May we meet together every time in the love of Christ. Lord, I pray for wisdom regarding the elders and decisions that are made, and people that should be spokesmen. And Lord, that you would please give us wisdom to send one who has love and experience and empathy. Lord, help me to receive rebuke. Help me, Lord, to receive foot washing, the admonishment of others. You said a wise man will hear rebuke. Please don't let me stray, Lord. I pray for this congregation that they would watch out for me. I don't want to backslide. Heal my backslidings. May each one of us desire to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We ask the dismissal of your blessing. Grant us traveling mercies. Keep us in your fear. Help us, Lord, not to let the devil steal the seed from our hearts today. Help us to meditate upon these things and give ourselves wholly to them, that our profiting might appear to all. And again, Lord, how pride is so extensive, not that it will appear to all so that we might be praised, but that it might appear to all that they might say there is a living God whom they have met with, who is greater than they are, and who changes them for the better. We ask that you would use us to point many souls to Christ in the time that you have allotted for us. Grow our souls, Lord. Let us all go on with God. For Jesus' sake, amen.